All right, are we excited? I hope so. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. So if you're not excited, hopefully you soon will be, okay? So today we are going to talk about a message in our Tuned In series that I am calling Go With The Flow. Now you may think to yourself, that doesn't really sound like it has a whole lot to do with TVs. So I'll give you my subtitle. It's Coming In Loud And Clear. All right, you hear that? Are you on the Zoom videos or whatever? Can you hear me? Can you see me? Right? You know, involving both of the things that we've talked about thus far, that stillness and that quietness and that turning your eyes on Jesus so that we can hear the voice. And the voice of the one speaking to us, whether you know it or not, is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's Jesus' spirit. Why? Because he's God's spirit. Why? Because they're part of the Trinity. They're all one. So if you've seen one, you've seen the others. If you've heard one, you've heard the others, all right? And we have one of them living inside of us, and he's speaking all the time. So that's what we're talking about today. Are you with me? Are we awake this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question for you that just kind of gets the hamster running on that wheel, okay? Have you ever had a challenge that you seemingly had no answer for? And then all of a sudden, the solution hits you, and you're like, I got it. That's what we're talking about today. That's going with the flow. So before I get too far, as I said, I wanted to recap a little bit about what we've discussed so far. So if we're following any of these cards, and I'll get these cards into your hands just to remind you through the year, something else I've kind of done preemptively, because next week we're going to be talking about journaling. I've got some paper and some pens down here. So as the Lord speaks to you in this message, feel free to grab yourself some papers and some pens. Write down what he's saying. It's so important to write it down. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And to start off, one of the ways that we hear God's voice, one of the keys, step one, was stillness. We must quiet ourselves. Be still. Know that he is God. Quiet our hearts. And I want to remind you that in that first week, we studied the story of Elijah. And often we focus on the way God spoke, not why God was doing what he was doing. And I reminded you that God, I feel, was tuning Elijah so that he could hear him in the midst of everything going on, in the midst of all the noise. Part two that we covered last week, we must look to Jesus. We must see him. We must focus solely on him and nothing else. And if we remain focused on him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can you hear that? All right? And something that I talked about last week in regards to that was as Peter looked at Jesus and he was watching Jesus and Jesus says, come, Peter walked on the water. The moment Peter took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He sank. But Jesus knew because Jesus was right there immediately to pick him back up. Okay? So Jesus is with you. You're not going to get it perfect every time. We're learning, we're growing, we're moving in this process of understanding how to hear God's voice, and he's there even when we fail, even when we don't get it right, okay? So there's joy, or at least there should be joy here. So today we're talking about specifically what I'm going to unpack a little bit today is the idea of spontaneity, learning to tune to the flow of the Holy Spirit, like I said, because he lives in us and his purpose is to guide us. What does the word say? He's going to guide you into all truth. He loves truth. He loves revealing the mysteries of God. So his job is to live inside of us, transform us. We're going to talk about that too. And to guide us along the pathway so that we fulfill the mission of God, all right? So here's my sermon in a sentence. Here's the cheat. So please focus on the rest of it, but if you get nothing else, get this. In order to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, we must recognize and say no to the other things guiding us. Chris, do you mean my own thoughts and my passions and desires and dreams, etc.? Yes, because nothing else is as good and the best for you as his thoughts, his desires, his dreams, his plan for you, okay? Now, what you'll find is because Holy Spirit lives in you, he knows what you like, and he does care about that. But if you focus on him and him first, he'll take care of the other stuff, all right? Are you with me? All right, so let's do what we did last week. This may be a thing, so if you don't like this, I'm sorry. But let's stand for our key verses today. I only have a couple, so we'll be all right. And when I say couple, you guys will have to talk to me later about Chris's definition of couple. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Man, I'm excited already. I hope you're getting excited. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Yes, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Amen? No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. Aha, he's teaching us something here. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. That's who we're talking about. And we have received God's Spirit, not the spirit of the world or the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. No one knows what you're going through. So be with brothers and sisters in Christ. We are with it, in it together, okay? For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. Amen? All right, three more verses. John 7:38, driving this point home. Jesus says, believe in me. So that rivers of regular water?
Living water.
I wonder who that is. Will burst forth out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. And then he cheats. He tells us what he said. Verse 39. Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. But the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out on them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in his full splendor. Has Jesus been unveiled yet?
Yeah.
Yes. So guess what happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out on us, okay? Psalm 46:4. This is future and this is now. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Another version says, brings joy and delight. Who does that sound like? Holy Spirit, okay? Joy and delight. What were some of the fruits we've been talking about? Joy and love and peace and patience, okay? You can be seated. Are you excited today?
Amen.
All right, so the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in joy. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us in gladness. So what we're going to do now, we've read the word. We've got all the directions mapped out. We know where we're going. Holy Spirit, would you come today? Would you speak through me? Let me use your words, those spiritual words that your scripture just talked about. Use my mouth. Let me be a vessel for you to teach your people today. Help them have ears that will hear and hearts that will receive all that you have for them. Let them chew on it. Let them talk to you about it. Let them discuss it with you in their waking hours and their going to sleep hours. But let them discuss. Let them talk. Let them interact and have relationship with you as a result of what we're going to learn about today. Be with us, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So my first point, who he is. Before I get too far into things, I want to be clear on something. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's not a tool. So something that came to me, my third thing was going to be, there's not a nice idea. You don't, oh, Holy Spirit. When I say tool, this one hit me in study and preparation time as I was thinking about this. So often, how do I word this? We want what he does, or we want what he has, but we don't always focus on wanting him. Does that make sense? We want to get the job done, tool, right? But we don't care about whose it is. We miss that. And I don't think we do that maliciously. I'm not saying that. But we definitely do it unawares more often than not. Holy Spirit, I want you. Your gifts will happen. Those are byproducts of our relationship. But I want you. Okay? That's what we want to teach today. It's not a tool, it's not a thing, it's not an idea. He's a person. Like I said, you don't just use him for what you want and then ignore him until you need something. All right? Here's another one for you. This may hurt a little bit more. He's not a genie. Oh, give me this. Help me with this. Do this. Oh, if you just do this, things will be so much better. Right? Remember what I said? He does care about your desires, but that's not his focus. His focus is the mission of God. And as you align with the mission of God and he empowers you to do the mission of God, he pays attention to your desires. Sometimes he enhances them and makes them better, makes them truer, makes them holy. And then oftentimes he moves you away from those desires and says, that's not for you. That's not what you need. You think that it is, but here's what you're actually looking for. You're looking for belonging. You're looking for love. You're looking for connectedness and acceptance. Guess what? I got all that for you. Watch this. All right? Are you with me? So like we said, he's a person. He's the third part in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Three in one. His purpose on earth, these are our next points. So if you're wanting to cheat or get ahead, here they are. His purpose on earth is to guide, equip, and empower each and every one of us to do the will of God. Okay? And then here's what he wants. He wants relationship. He wants intimacy. He wants to be close. Remember that prophetic word that was given last Sunday about how we're his bride, the bride of Christ, and we're being prepared? Guess who's preparing us? Holy Spirit. He knows what a bride is supposed to look like, what she's supposed to sound like, what she's supposed to do, how she's supposed to prepare before the master comes. And we have that great feast with him, okay? We're being prepared. Say yes to preparing. Thank you, Lord. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Why? Because he lives in us. And he's the one who's transforming us into the likeness of Christ. Amen? So that on that day, the last day, we will be complete, lacking nothing. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I don't know if I gave it to them in the back, but it says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, I love this, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Lord is a term for master. So he's saying this is coming from the master, the Holy Spirit. Can you hear that? All right. So here's our first prayer. Let's do this together. Holy Spirit, forgive me for putting you in a box. Forgive me for not acknowledging you and partnering with you in the plan of God. Amen. Now, in regards to his voice, something we've been talking about, something I'm trying to help you with, I'm using language like flow or spontaneity to describe the way that that voice seems to bubble up out of nowhere. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but it just hits you and you're like, I wasn't thinking about that. Where'd that come from? And something that I want to help you with is a few things here, and I talk about it here. So I may not just read this. I may just talk about what I'm saying. You have a voice. You have an internal voice, and you have an audible voice. And as you think about things or process things, this may be new for some of us, but as you process things, you sort of talk to yourself. Sometimes you talk out loud. Sometimes you talk internally. It really just depends, but I do this often. Thankfully, I don't answer myself. Then we have some problems, okay? But I talk to myself, and I rationalize things, and I plan things out. I'm a planner. So as I do that, I know what my voice sounds like. My voice hits me almost immediately. It's like, oh, yeah, yep, right in the same thought, super intellectual thoughts, and you know, kind of all in the details and all that. And then all of a sudden, I get this random thought. Well, so I have to analyze this thought. Is this thought positive or is it negative? Is it building up or is it tearing down? What thought or what voice is that? So as I do that, so this is old Chris. This is not Chris now. But as I did that, I would hear, That's a terrible idea. That's stupid. What are you thinking? Like, people are going to know. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not ready. You're not good enough. What voice does that sound like? Yeah, that sounds like the accuser, the devil, trying to get us off mission. Then I hear another voice. This one's a little quieter, a little harder to focus on because I'm noisy. Then he's being noisy and getting me real noisy. And then this other voice comes in and he says, "Did I not call you? Did I not prepare you? I have all that you need. Are you ready to work with me? I love you." That voice sounds quite a bit different. I usually don't tell myself that I love myself, by the way, so I usually can distinguish, oh, hey, that's God right there, okay? And he tells me that often. So as we studied love languages last year, I'm words of affirmation. So he knows exactly, hey, you're doing a good job. I'm so proud of you. You know, he's building me up, right? Some of you might not be that way. So his voice will sound a little bit different than what I just described, but it carries that thought, that main idea of immense love, immense joy, supernatural direction, wisdom that comes from not you. And you're like, that was a good thought. Where did that come from? Well, not you. So that's another way that you can distinguish, oh, wow, that's God. I want more of that. You want to know how you can have more of that? Read your word. Pick up that Bible every now and then. That's one of the ways he speaks to you. And that's one of the ways that you can confirm, am I hearing from God? Because he'll line up with his word. He'll line up with biblical principles. Oh, that makes sense because the Bible talks about this. It might not use the same language, but this is what happened in that story. I'm hearing from God. Amen? All right, so are you with me? That's kind of what we're talking about, going with the flow, going with the voice. It tends to be this bubble thought or this spontaneous thought that just pops in your mind, and you have to then, remember, he said that we should take captive all of our thoughts. Okay, what thought is this? Is this the enemy trying to mess me up and get me thinking about myself or focusing on things? Or is this the Holy Spirit? Does it enhance the thing that I might be planning or being led to build or direct? Or does it destroy it? What is it? And that'll help you, okay? I have my second point here is that the Holy Spirit cares about every detail. And I can't say it better than I think Chris can. So can you guys play that video by Chris?
So I said, I wonder if Holy Spirit knows anything about cars. Now, I know it sounds kind of funny right now, but I'm like, of course he knows about bodies because he created them. But he didn't actually create cars. So one day I was working on this car, and I literally had worked on it, I think, a couple of days. And it was in the early days of computer cars. You know, you probably remember these days. You drive down the road and your car quits for no particular reason. The tow truck picks it up. It takes it to the shop. They get it to the shop, starts up and drives again for 3 more days. Like, I owned shops in those days. And so I drove cars around for days. Like, you leave your car with me. I drive your car around for days. As soon as it quits, I have all these meters. I jump out of the car and try to fix it. You know, it's one of those deals, right? Well, I had worked on this one particular truck. It was actually a General Motors truck. And I had worked on it for 2 days, and I couldn't get it to start. And I had done everything. I'd even called the dealer. I had all the, you know, I had wiring harnesses out. I had wiring diagrams from a book. I had wiring diagrams faxed me from the dealer. I cannot figure out everything in this thing. It looks like it should run, but it wouldn't run. So the second day, it's at night. My guys all went home. I said to my guys, I'm going to stay late and I'm going to fix this thing. So that night, I'm literally leaning on the fender like this, and I'm thinking, I have done everything I can think of. I have no idea what's wrong. I had to replace parts. I've done everything I know to do. And I had this thought. I wonder if the word of knowledge works with cars. Seriously, adversity introduces a man to himself. And adversity is the mother of invention, right? So I'm leaning like this, and I thought, well, there's no one else around. And you know, the way we did it with people is we laid hands on them, right? So I'm like, look around, and I lay hands on the fender of this truck, this blue Sierra Pacific truck, and I say, Holy Spirit, do you know what's wrong with this truck? And if you do, tell me right now. And instantly, I get this, instantly. There's a diode under the right front fender, and it's broken. Now, I know I wouldn't think that for two reasons. One, the wiring diagram does not show a diode under the right front fender. And I have tore the wiring out of this truck. So I'm like, and secondly, I didn't even know the thing had a diode at all, anywhere. So I go, well, okay, what do I got to lose? So I put it up on the rack and I look up there, and of course it has all this undercoating under it. And I look up under the undercoating, kind of peel back the undercoating. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a diode under there. Oh, one of the ends of it's broken off. Literally, I solder the diode back on and the truck starts, boom. And I have a whole new occupation.
Amen. So I don't know if you have a truck that you're working on or what you have going on, but I encourage you to put them to the test. And this is a good test. Because you can do this for us, surely you can do it in all the other areas of my life too. Lay hands on that area. Pray for that area. Ask for that word of knowledge or word of wisdom or whatever it is. I'll give you an example of mine. So I think I've told this story, but last summer we were serving food out in the middle of downtown Oklahoma, blazing hot sun, not a super cool or safe neighborhood, and a lady locked her keys in her vehicle, and we were ready to go. Once again, so hot outside. It was nasty hot outside. We were done. Everybody had left. Still in a dangerous area. There were some people around, and it's just not a place that you want to leave a lady. So I immediately think to myself, like, oh, Lord, how can we help her? I don't want her to wait. I'm just kind of processing all this. And I hear four numbers immediately pop into my head. I don't know what those four numbers are. I don't use those four numbers. All I know is he said, boom, 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 boom. And I had the four numbers. And I saw on the side of her car, there's a keypad. You could type in four numbers. And then I look at my mom, and I'm hoping to Lord Jesus that she heard it too, and that she can go take care of it rather than me, because I'm like, this is going to be the weirdest thing on the planet for me to walk over to her car, type in four numbers in her car to open up. So I'm questioning it, right? You know, just kind of going through all this. Prior to this event, I had asked God to start speaking to me, by the way. I had asked him to start teaching me and talking to me and using me, right? Game time. So, all right, I'm speaking to you, and mom, you know, gives me deer in the headlights look, like, what are you looking at me for? What's going on? You know, so she did not hear the four numbers that I heard, and so, out of immense reluctance and arguing with the Lord, but still believing him and feeling like, okay, I think this is you, because I wouldn't have thought this. I said, she's trying it, doing all this. I said, can I try for a minute? And she looks at me about it like you would for somebody that said they know your combination. And I, and she, the look on her face was like, as was mine, and she was able to get in her car. And we're all like, what do we do? You know, so obviously celebration, but you know, that's one example. Another example, as I said, prayed that prayer, that God spoke things in me that he confirmed all year long. And I've got a list of them in my office I can share with you later. But, you know, things like a reset taking place so that we would be prepared for COVID church. A scripture and a prophetic word as it related to the how we were being equipped for that time and equipped to move forward. And like I said, the thing that I like about it is through other pastors and preachers and teachers and friends that I have close and personal relationships with, as well as other relationships with just being acquaintances, all these words being confirmed. And I'm like, yeah, God, you talk and you speak and you've been talking and you've been speaking. I've just been blind to it. Thank you for opening up my eyes. Now give me more. All right? So it reminded me of a story, and it's found in Acts 9, 10 through 11. Remember, he cares about every detail. Check this out. He says, so the Lord said to him, and this is Ananias, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, or Judah, for one who is called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. I see what I've done. I got it backwards. That was my first part, and my notes jumbled it all up. So Ananias is praying. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. The Lord gave him like four or five different details. And guess what? The Lord gave Paul the same details. Hey, guess what? You're going to go to this house. You're going to be in prayer. You've been blind for 3 days. You haven't eaten food. You haven't drinking any water. And I'm going to bring this guy named Ananias straight here. He's going to lay hands on you. The scales are going to fall off your eyes and you're going to see again. You think he cares about details? Because he got two guys that probably would have never met otherwise, because Ananias immediately responds, oh, I know this man. He's killed a lot of Christians. I don't know whether I want to go talk to him. And the Lord tells him to go anyway, right? But he gives him all those details. Another point that comes to mind is found one chapter later, Acts 10, 19 through 20. Peter had just had a vision about food being dropped from heaven on a blanket. So weird vision. He didn't have anything spicy the night before. This was a vision of the Lord. And the Lord showed him all this food and says, rise, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. My mouth has never touched those things. Those are unclean. And he said, don't call unclean what I have now made clean. And he was doing that in preparation for Peter's encounter right here with the centurion and his household, because they were Gentiles. They were unclean, okay? And here's what he says. So Peter was thinking about the vision, and the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Get up, so arise therefore. Go down, so he's in the top of the house, he's going to go down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. So they were told, once again, the opposite of that. You're going to go to this house, Simon the Tanner, and you're going to see Simon Peter up on the top floor praying, and you're going to tell him to come with you, and he's going to go, not asking any questions. Because he said, go with them, doubting nothing. They're going to tell him, hey, we want you to come to our master's house. All right, let's go. Right? How cool is that? The Holy Spirit cares about details. Just as he cares about those details and descriptions and instructions so that you know that it's him and it's confirmed on the two parties, he cares about all the other details. Here's another example for you that I think is neat. Have you ever tried searching for something online? It's supposed to have all the information for you available at an instant. But then as you get started, you know what you want, but you don't know how to explain what you want. Have you ever been there? Like, I can picture it. I know what it does. What do you even call this thing, right? You're missing a detail, right? Are you with me? So as we talked about a minute ago, he knows the very heart of God. It's his job to reveal the secrets and the mysteries. Oh, he knows what you're looking for. He knows where to find it. He knows how to get it back to you. He knows everything. So he is way better than the World Wide Web. He's way better than the internet. Okay? Can you take some joy in that? Anybody ever tried searching on Amazon? You didn't find it? Oh, I guess I don't need it anyway, right? Not so with the Holy Spirit. Tell him what you need. He already knows, but just tell him. And he knows how to describe it. He knows how to talk about it. I'll tease a little bit with Alan. Alan told us a story how the Holy Spirit gave him a word. But sometimes in our non-infinite wisdom, we don't always understand what those words mean. We don't always understand the complete context. So we hear a word, and we may not know the definition, or the definition that we have maybe is adjusted by our culture or our perspective of business. So the Lord gave Alan a word, and it wasn't until 3 months later or 6 months later?
About six.
6 months later, the Lord said, pull out a thesaurus, the complete version, and read that again. And he read it again, and it was like epiphany moment, right? Like, wow, that connects so much more now than it did before. So, Holy Spirit knows everything. He has access to describe everything that we're looking for, all that we want to do, everything. Try asking him. So, typing it in here, just back and forth, okay? So, I want to pray this, and this might connect with you personally, like perfectly, but it might not. But I think it's something that we should still pray nonetheless. So we're going to ask him to forgive us. And I think it's just something that we all should agree to. So let's agree together for forgiveness. Holy Spirit, forgive me for believing that you don't care about every detail. Help me to focus on all the insight that you are pouring into me. Especially this part. Help me remain humble, but to be bold enough to share what you're saying. I think too often we get a word and we feel like it's the Lord, like I did with the numbers, but we're not bold enough to share it. Maybe we think, oh, what will they think of me? I always have to have the answer at that point. I don't want that pressure, right? You know, did you have the answer or did he? He did. So the pressure's not on you. It's on him. Remain humble. Be bold enough to share. Can you hear that? All right. Another point here. Part of his job, part of what he wants to do, like we said, guide us in truth. He guides us in truth. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I picked this version because the other versions might cloud it up a little bit for you. I think this is pretty clear. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you the path to take. That clears it up. Any questions there? No. So the other ones sound pretty, but this one tells you exactly what he meant. Does that resonate with you? Trust him. Don't depend on your own understanding. He'll guide your path. John 16, 3 through 14 says this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it for you, to you. What I like about this is, what did Jesus say almost the entire time he was with the disciples? I'm not saying what I'm saying. I'm saying what the Father's saying. I'm not doing what I'm doing. I'm doing what I see the Father do. This echoes that. Can you see the Trinity in this? He doesn't say what he wants to say. He says what he says. He sees everything. He knows the plan. It's so easy for us to want to go our own way. I think we even made a song about it. We live under our parents' roof and protection for right around 18 years. And then we desire to leave and start over. Isn't that kind of silly? I'm going to start over and do it better than they did. You know, whatever silly business we say that rattles out of our mouth and we think we have this massive amount of intelligence. And when you get 2 or 3 years down the road, you realize, man, that was really dumb. I could have used some help. I could have used some guidance. I could have taken some of the things that they were trying to show me. And then you have that epiphany moment. Now, this one's probably more in the natural than in the spiritual. But you realize that that wasn't too smart. I wish I would have done that a little bit differently. So I encourage you that because we even do this to the Lord, and we know that the way is narrow, but we tend to look at the large path, and our flesh is attracted to that path, I encourage you, especially young folks, Lord, guide me. Help me not to go my own way. Help me not to seek my own path. Help me to stay on the narrow path, the path that you've set out before me and said to you that you would go before me on. Help me follow that path. I believe we have to make a conscious effort to die to the flesh, to silence the noise, and to say yes to the Holy Spirit's leading. Those are all choices that we make as we agree with him, as we partner with him. Those are the ways that, like Abram, when he said, go into the land that I'll show you, we had to take the first step. So if you haven't taken the step, take that step. I want to die to flesh, silence the noise, and say yes to your lead. I don't believe he's going to steer us wrong. In fact, the Bible tells us so. And honestly, I think the hard part for many of us is giving up something. And it's a bad word. I hate this word. But it's control. I wrote it all in capitals on mine. We don't want to give up control because we like it too much. It makes us feel good, right? We want everything to be safe. And we want it to go our way. Did you know that was one promise Jesus did not make? That it'd be safe and always go your way? He did not say that. But you'd have to give up something, and that's control. Many artists kind of made that a little bit cheesy, and I was going to throw that in here, but I'll say it instead. Jesus, take the wheel, right? Tim Hawkins made it real funny and said, Cletus, take the reel, and he was fishing, you know? because he couldn't reel in this big fish. So I encourage you to check out Tim Hawkins. He's funny. But yeah, so Jesus, in fact, do take the wheel. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just driving, right? You know where we're going. You lead. You tell me. I'll follow you, okay? That's what we're saying. So pray this with me. This one may be hard. Holy Spirit, I relinquish control to you. Please take charge. Lead me and guide me into your truth and help me to be sensitive to your voice. Amen? All right, last point, I believe. He equips and empowers us for God's will. Zechariah 4:6 says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." How will this get done? By my spirit. How will any of it get done? By his spirit, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. God works in different ways. Did you know it? But it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Now listen to this. This is what we're going to talk about in our Connect class. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I'll give you the other words if you want to look at them, but we're making it simple so you can understand. To give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Do you want these gifts? Do you want to be used by the Spirit? Okay, so that means that as you do these things, you'll produce fruit, but in order to do these things, you need the gifts. Can you hear that? So he's the giver of both, all right? So check this out. This is something that I believe that he does as we start walking into this. And I have this online if you want to look at it. I also have it on the screen. But number one, he ignites our passion. Does the Holy Spirit ignite our passion? Does that sound like him? Yeah. So we can share the gospel. Number two, he opens doors. Get this. Have you ever found that you minister to people that you don't even know? You have a few of those, right? I've got a few of those. Some of you are laughing, so you might have a few of those. I didn't know I was supposed to minister to you. I don't even know you, right? Number three, he helps us to conquer our fears. You might not think that you're qualified, so let's look at the next one. Number four, he provides the skills that we need. Amen? Your skills, your ability, not mine. Amen. You recognize, as the word said, that he's the one speaking through you. So we prayed at the beginning of this, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me, not me. Number five, and he brings us together with people who can help. That's why we're here. That's why we're together, doing this together. People that can help. People that we can forge kingdom relationships with so that we can further the mission. Something that Pastor Gary said that it stuck with me forever. He said, there's no name but one name. It's not just Hope Church. It's not Chris Johnson. It's not Joe. It's not Stan. No name but one name. That name is Jesus. If we're all pressing towards that mission, I think we're doing something right, okay? So let's pray this today. Holy Spirit, would you equip me in new ways today? Empower me to step out into the mission field that you've called me to. Help me to trust the word that you're speaking through me. Amen? All right, worship team, if you guys would get ready. So here's my question, and I'd like everybody to stand with me today. Here's the question. Are you wanting to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking today? Yes. Show of hands if you do not want to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking today. All right, no hands are raised. Praise God. So how can we hear him? Here it is, real quick. Be still and invite him. Look to him and listen. Obey and trust the flow of spontaneity. Then he will equip you for impact. So the first point that I had here, and I want to drive it home today because I want you to join with me. He said to be still and invite him. Would you all take a moment, those of you online, do it where you're at right now too, but take a moment and quiet yourself. Quiet the noise. Quiet the extra thoughts and the things that you're thinking about. You may be having a rumble in your stomach and you're hungry. Put that aside. Food will come. Jesus, we want you more. Whatever I have going on, quiet down and invite him. Invite him in your own words. Something else the Lord told me to share with you guys, and I want you to be bold. I want you to come forward. And if we have everybody in church lined up at the front, that is okay. But listen to what he said. In Acts 3:6, there was a beggar. He was asking for money. And Peter and John caught his eye. He caught theirs. And he said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise, get up and walk." And the man went jumping and leaping. So what I'm saying today is there are those of us in this room, I can probably point you out, but I won't do it. I'm going to ask you to come forward. And you have the gift of impartation. When you lay your hands on somebody, the Holy Spirit in you dumps off into them and fills them up. You're meant to be filled and poured out and filled and poured out. So if you feel that you have something to give to someone, I'm asking you to come up first. Would you come up and just stand right here facing the crowd? Do what? To give to someone now. You might not be able to explain it. You might not understand it, but you have something, and it's not for you. It's for somebody else. So I'm asking you to come up, stand next to these folks up here, and you're going to be laying hands. All right. Now, for those of you that know that you're supposed to get something today, you don't know how, you don't know why, but all you know is that you are here for a reason, and God has something for you, and you're not leaving this place until you get that. That's an okay thing to desire, by the way. I would like you to come up and line up in front of these folks, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to impart what they have. The Holy Spirit inside of them is going to fall on you. They might not even be able to explain what they're giving to you. All they know is they're being faithful by the laying on of hands. So would you come up if you'd like to receive something today, or if you've been told that you're specifically here to receive something today? I know this requires boldness. It's okay. We love you. We're a family. Come on up. And then I'm going to remind you that everybody's hand raised when they said they wanted more. So if you want more, come on down. Yeah, come on down. Just line up in front of one of these prayer people here. Chris and Hope, I think there's something for you here. Come on down. Miss Pam, I think you have something to give. Would you come stand? I'm not trying to call you out, but I don't want you to leave without getting what the Lord has. Lou, I believe you need to speak with Miss Pam. And remember, it's not necessarily about the person. It's the gift that the Lord has for you from that person.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
April, would you do me a favor? Would you read this for the body today? We have another word that we want to share with the body today. So April is going to share it with us.
My dear love, I hear your cry for healing, and I am the God who heals you. Man has been given wisdom from me as to how to heal, but I do not need modern medicine to perform my miracles. It is not wrong to seek the aid of a doctor, but pray for whatever doctor or treatment you get, for I will direct you. Above all, have faith that I can do the impossible. Do not give up on seeking me. Many of the people in the Bible received their healing because they would not stop asking. I delighted in their faith in me. Know that I love you even when the manifestation of your healing seems to tarry. It's not wasted time, but a time for you to press in and know me more. I have not forgotten you, so do not get discouraged and forget me. I am about relationship. I desire for you to come to me when you feel weak and sad from waiting. Come to me and feel my love. All the pains and troubles of the physical body will pass, but your relationship with me will never end. Seek me first, and the healing will come along with that. I long to know you in a deeper way. I long to talk with you. I delight in the sound of your laughter. I love to see you smile. I was there when the good report from the doctor came, and I was there when the bad report came. I'm greater than any report of health or sickness that comes your way. I am above all reports, and I always give a good report of your health, for I am God of more than enough healing for your body and mind. By my stripes, you are healed. All pain of this life will pass, but I remain. Seek me in the healing of your body, and soul and body will be found. For I am the Lord who heals you, Exodus 15:26b. Your faithful bridegroom, Jesus.
Amen. Can we give him some praise for his healing? Can we give him some praise for his words going forth today? Amen? All right. I just want to pray for you real quick and bless you as you leave. Lord Jesus, help your word that you spoke today to not fall on deaf ears. Help us to hear your word. And if we have to, let us download and listen to it over and over again until we get it just right. It's less about who is speaking and what's going on, and more about the one, the Holy Spirit that you've placed inside of us. Help us to draw closer. Help us to come nearer than we've ever been before. And help us to say yes to the words that we receive. Help us to say yes, more importantly, to your mission, what you've called us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then remembering You are with us always, even until the end of the age. We receive that. We receive you, and we thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Love you all.